Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
My vision for 3 and Out is we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless
radio show
that everybody in the SEC wants to
listen to.
That's my goal. These guys realize that we want to change the culture. They're hungry. These guys are ready to get started, and I'm excited about it. All right. Your expectations, all right, aren't near what mine are.
All right. 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 All right.
Our program has the history, the facilities, the tradition, and the resources to play with anyone, anytime, and that's what we're going to do again.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to. Place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, even though no one will be.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, Friday edition of the program. It's 3 and Out, Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Billy Williford with you. Appreciate you starting your day with us right here on Fan Run Radio. Oh, baby, it's Friday.
Woo!
And how about these baseball Vols?
Starting to come together, Pepper. Starting to come together.
You're always on the peak at the right time.
Every time we win, we peel a section. Peeled a big old section last night.
Last night, boom. Tennessee 7, Ole Miss 0.
Nada,
nothing. Garrett Stallings, your stud ace pitcher, goes the distance. A complete game. Four-hit shutout. Garrett now 8-3.
Against the 15th-ranked Ole Miss Rebels.
Wow.
What a performance.
Yeah.
What a performance. Bats and pitching working simultaneously for Tennessee. Woo. Hadn't happened in a bit.
Woo. Woo. Ricky Martinez went 4-for-4.
You should just go by Ricky Martin.
With two RBI.
Bring that name back.
And Lipschitz, your boy, went 3-for-4. Three RBI.
He's really good.
There's your seven runs. Or no, sorry. Two. And
that's five.
That's five.
2+3 is. Didn't you teach math?
I did.
Yeah. Sorry. You said I had a good math teacher. Uh-huh. It was not Nate.
It wasn't me.
FYI.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
Just a quick FYI.
What a win. What a win for Tennessee when you had to have it. They're now 13-15 in the SEC. There's stats that teams that are 13-17 in the SEC don't get in. Some people are challenging that this year, saying that a 13-17 regular season record for an SEC team could get them in. But now it seems to be set up to where Tennessee has two chances the rest of this weekend to get at least one win against Ole Miss and put themselves on at least on the right side of the bubble heading into the SEC tournament. They play tonight at 6:30. They play Saturday at noon, both Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Pull for the home team. They need one more win, it feels like. On the baseball,
I'm seeing them in.
The baseball bracketology, I keep seeing them in as well. But like I've said before, with selection committees, especially the farther you get away from NCAA basketball, and of course this isn't that far away. This is one of the bigger sports outside of football and basketball for the NCAA. So hopefully they would
make a good penny off the.
They'd be pretty with it.
The World Series,
but let's just get one more, and hopefully make sure. And I'm not sure. I mean, check the baseball standings. This might. You know, winning one more game or two more games might improve your seed for the SEC tournament. as well. And we talked about how in the top 25 of the baseball rankings, Tennessee was getting left out because you couldn't end up, like, I think there was SEC fatigue, like the rankings people.
Well, yeah, definitely some of that, I'm sure.
Didn't really want to put the ninth team in the conference into the top 25.
Still should be in there.
Tennessee is a half game now behind Missouri. A half. Not like one half game. Like the tie game that Missouri has is all that has them ahead of Tennessee. So that's a seed line right there.
So if you win two and Missouri wins one this weekend,
boom.
Or if you win one and they lose the next two, boop. That would make up a little bit. It would make me feel better after being swept by Missouri a couple weeks ago, when you should have at least gotten one, if not two, of those games.
Missouri lost last night at home to Florida.
Thanks, Florida.
And they have two more.
Thank you.
Tonight, 7:30, and Saturday at 3.
Thank you, Florida.
It's about time they helped us out with something.
You ain't lying. Finally, they do something good.
Missouri's lost their last two and two out of their last three. Sorry. Last two and three out of the last four.
There you go. I was like, okay. Well, they won the one before the
that
two.
Was since, all right. That was since the Tennessee
cool.
series.
Cool. Thank you, Nate. That's it was kind of a dead giveaway. Since the
sweep of Tennessee, they haven't played as well.
Haven't looked like the Missouri that it took three out of three from the
big. I mean,
it'd
be nice to take their spot. Whatever rankings the SEC sports website uses has Missouri
22?
At 22. Yeah.
I think you're right. I think it's SEC fatigue. I totally get it because the conference is absolutely incredible. And, yeah, when you're just kind of on the bubble of the top 25, they're probably not going to give Tennessee the benefit of the doubt, even though, in my opinion, the schedule, the RPI, the wins, the conference record basically dictate that Tennessee is a top 25 team. They just don't want to put another SEC team in there. But surely, Tennessee's in the NCAA tournament now. Surely. I mean, I'm not even going to entertain the option that they're not. They're in. They're a top 25 team. They're not getting left out. There's no way. Not after proving that mano y mano, ones versus ones on the pitching mound, 7-0 against the 15th ranked team.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. You're supposed to be playing your best baseball right now. Tennessee might be peaking at the right time. Tony V could be a postseason push warrior. I'm in. I knew this guy. I knew I believed in him. Knew it. Just had a feeling. Sometimes you just know. And I knew about Tony V. Smart.
It's so exciting to have something to like look for, pull for,
and not feel weird about it. Like, as I watch Bone and Grant, like, I'm just kind of like,
well, that's, yeah.
Do I want to be excited for you guys? Yes. But do I also want to be excited for you guys? No. That's how it works.
Hey, here's a nice note for the baseball team. 10 SEC teams made the NCAA regionals last year.
Okay.
And as I mentioned, I believe Tennessee is ninth and only one, a half game out of eighth. So that
money.
That seems, and, I mean, we talked about this yesterday. They swept Indiana, who's in, according to the bracketology I've seen, and they took two out of three from Fresno State, who is in and at least in one rankings was snuck in the top 25. So, I mean, surely,
buddy, don't. They're in.
Don't sweat it.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't even make it a thing. Don't even speak it into existence that they're not in, because I'll tell you what, they're in. We said one win over Ole Miss would be just the lock that they needed. I think they might have been in anyway. And then the 7-0 shutout. I mean, come on. Take us seriously. This team is legit. They are serious.
Well, the nice thing about having Stallings be hot from the mound is that, the SEC baseball tournament has this really strange format now, and it's going to start on Tuesday. So as soon as we're done here this weekend on Saturday, it's a quick turnaround. Starts on Tuesday in Hoover, and the first round single elimination. And really, typically speaking, a rebuilding type of team like Tennessee one of the things you don't have is an ace pitcher, you know, one of these just top-shelf guys that can go out and just shut everybody down on Friday night. But it seems like Tennessee's at least got a guy that's on fire right now. And that's great in the single elimination to get things started, and then that can get you into the double elimination rounds that start Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then it's back to single elimination.
We're hot as a pistol.
It's very weird, but
we're hot as a pistol.
Yeah.
Got everything we need. Stacking wins. Dingers. Great pitching. Just get this team to the tournament.
Attendance last night was 2,310.
Ooh, it's a 308-person jump.
I can't believe you remember
on a Thursday.
That.
No, I just remembered it was 2002. It was a pretty easy number to remember. Only two numbers in the entirety of the number.
University doesn't pay us to say this, but I mean, tickets are only $5 for general admission. If you got some time tonight.
6:30 tonight? 7. Do you remember? I think it's 12.
6:30 tonight.
Is it noon tomorrow?
And noon tomorrow.
Okay. Congrats to Tennessee baseball. Making things fun in the summer for all of us.
So that's the good news.
Yeah, that's great news.
Mm-hmm.
Tony V.
You mentioned the basketball players.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if Grant was going to leave, I'm glad he's the star of the NBA Combine. If Bone was going to leave, I'm glad he's just smoking people at three-quarter sprints and
vertical
running or standing verticals. I don't know. I saw it reported both ways. Was that a standing vertical he beat every or was second in, or was that the running jump thing?
I think they do like a three-step in for that.
They did like vertical. A running one. I watched them do that. And then they did like the regular vertical. I watched
they
some
did
guys
both?
Do that. Yeah. And then I think somebody misreported one of the Bone numbers because they had the same number for both of those things.
That would be impressive.
Yeah, very, very weird.
Well,
so I was a little confused by all the different jumping measurements, but basically, Jordan Bone is fast and can jump, is what I took away from it.
Jordan Bone can fly, and I don't know if you want to take that for the running or the jumping, but the kid can fly. Your NBA Combine vertical leaders, number one, Jalen Leck, who Tennessee nearly got to commit.
That was our boy.
43 inches.
Good grief.
Number two, Jordan Bone, 42.5 inches on the vertical. Ahead of the likes of guys like Brandon Clark, Jared Harper, Tremont Waters, Nasir Little, Terrence Mann, Devin Dotson. What? 42.5? I mean, I guess, I don't know. I always knew he could jump, but 42.5? That's ridiculous. That's unbelievable. I mean, I guess on all those free throw line jumpers, man, he would soar.
Mm-hmm.
And what's weird is he would get there, and it's like he hung in the air once he reached peak vert. It's wild. Very impressive. So you're thinking, wow, the kid can jump. Good for him. And as if we didn't think he was fast, your overall leader for the three-quarter court sprint, Jordan Bone, 3.03 seconds. Faster than Tremont Waters. 3.06. Quindary Witherspoon, who is good, by the way. Remember what I said about him? Shut
mm-hmm.
him down?
Mm-hmm.
Beat Mississippi State?
Yep.
Exactly. 3.09. Jalen Leck, 3.21. So Bone, split the difference, probably better prospect right there.
So that 42.5 is the what they call the max vertical leap.
Where they get like two steps and a jump?
Yeah, I guess. And then there's a standing vertical leap.
Mm-hmm.
Bone was number one in that, 36 inches.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where it was a little confusing because he was number one in the vertical, standing vertical, 36 inches. He beat Leck by an inch.
Really?
Yeah.
And then Leck got him by a half an inch on the running vert?
Whatever, yeah, max vertical leap. Oh, and he also won the shuttle. So he's the fastest and the quickest.
And the
best turner, I guess I should say.
Yeah, the fastest, the quickest, and the best overall jumper.
His lane agility was number one. Jordan Bone won 1, 2, 3 of the categories and finished second and a fourth.
And there were only four?
No. Well, they've got their shooting stuff and all that.
Yeah. But I'm as far as like speed, agility, vertical, what do you?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. First and three-quarter court sprint, first in lane agility. No, I shortchanged him. I'm sorry. Jordan Bone was first in 4 out of 5 athletic categories. Here they are. There are the standing vertical leap, the max vertical leap, the shuttle run, the lane agility, the three-quarter sprint. Out of those 5 categories, he won them all, except he finished 2nd in max vertical leap.
Does this really surprise anyone, though?
It does surprise me that he won all of
those. That he came in first.
I mean, if you just said, hey, he's going to be top 3 or 4 in all these. And I don't know. I mean, three-quarter sprint, there's 6/100ths of a second between him, Waters, and Weatherspoon. I don't know if that's that big of a difference. So if you just said, hey, he's going to be one of the most athletic guys, I'd have probably said, okay, it makes sense. But to just win them all a little bit.
What's surprising to me, though, is I watched that first. I watched his whole scrimmage, and when he started off the game, and I sent this to you guys, it easily looked like he could have scored 8 to 10 points in the first 5 minutes. But he was playing like 2017 Jordan Bone, to where like he had those games where he could have scored 20, and he also had those games where he didn't score anything because he wasn't being aggressive, you know.
And he just ran the offense.
Yeah.
Just passed the basketball.
Run it. I mean,
as soon as I turned it on, it just started. And Kyle Guy was on the wing trying to completely, like, ISO 101, shot a step back. It barely hit the rim. And I was like, this is the problem with essentially pickup basketball with guys that are all trying to impress people watching. Like, that's the problem with AAU basketball. Everybody's got to get theirs and wants to show out, like you said, Billy. And It makes for some embarrassing moments.
That was kind of one of my takeaways with watching Bone and Grant in their games, is neither one of them tried to do that one-on-one junk, and it was almost like they were showing teams that they could just fill in and plug in anywhere the teams could put them.
Well, you would think that the scouts, like, they're going to see all the wow plays guys make all throughout college in their cutups. They don't really need to see you hit one more jumper.
I need to see you play basketball.
Right. I just want to see you in person.
Which is what we make fun of all the NBA coaches for saying, but that's really what this is for. Like, hey, Jalen Leck, I know you can jump. You don't need to try to get a baseline dunk every time. You know, like, hey, man, I know you can shoot one-on-one. I don't need you to be jacking 13 threes in an NBA combine pickup game.
It's just kind of, it's
do
just,
you understand the game of basketball? Can you make people around you better?
And it's kind of a way to see these guys play against other guys that'll be NBA players, because there's so many guys in college that just aren't gonna, you know. So it's a way to stack them up really with their size, their speed, and their kind of do they look like they belong on the court? And you don't have to score a ton to kind of prove that. I don't know how Bone's performance will be viewed.
Well, the testing performance will be viewed favorably.
I'm in on the court.
Well, Billy Watts, he said it was good and then not so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, his first stint, like I said, he could have easily scored 10 points if he wanted to. He had a step on a few guys going to the lane, and he would just drop it off to someone else. That second stint, though, it looked like length was getting to him as he was driving to the basket. He couldn't guard the pick and roll at all.
Yeah.
He let the big guy slip him twice for
easy dunks.
That's
so weird. We're usually so good with the screens and the switching and the
and then
I feel like that's not Bone's fault. I feel weird, but that it's like he probably was never taught the right way to do it.
Yeah, that's immediately what I thought. And then he just looked lazy in transition and transition defense. However, his team was getting blasted by like 30 points.
Yeah, I've got a stat line here. He played 19 minutes. I'm not sure how long the game was. Well, how long was the game? 20 minutes? No, sorry. 30 minutes? The max I see here is like 23:48 for some of these guys. Anyway, he was 2 of 8 from the floor, 0 of 3 from 3. He had 4 points, and his plus-minus was a -1.
Mm.
However,
mm-hmm.
That was second best on the team because most guys were. I got a minus six. I got, well, no, sorry. Yeah, there was only one guy in positive numbers for the team. One white was not, did not have a good day. The first scrimmage,
not a,
the white
not
team,
a good day.
Not a good day.
Well,
minus six, minus eight, minus one, minus six, minus 13, minus 18, minus 13, minus 22, minus 14, minus 19.
It's tough to play when you don't know your teammates or something like that.
Wow.
I am blown away by the athletic testing numbers, though. I mean, I knew he was fast. I didn't think he'd be the fastest. I knew he could jump. I didn't think he'd be the jumpiest.
Jump the highest.
Jumpiest, yeah. I knew he was agile. I didn't know he was the most agile. I knew he was quick. I didn't know he was the quickest. He's got bounce. He's got speed. He can pass. He can shoot sometimes. He just played his way into the first round.
You know what his scouting report's going to say?
WTF.
Wasn't developed at the college
oh,
level.
Oh, stop.
His full potential.
Stop.
I'm not kidding. Am I?
He was a late bloomer.
Prove me wrong.
He got better every year.
Prove
was last year
wrong.
Not his best year?
It was.
So if he comes back for one more year, maybe he just needs more teaching.
It just makes me retroactively want to vomit about all those, like, Rick Barnes is, you know, papa to Jordan Bone, and he's made him who he is, and he has these long walks on the beach, talks with him on the sideline, and I just, oh, it just makes me cringe.
You're being dramatic.
I am being dramatic.
I know. That's why I said that.
I don't care. That's my point. I mean, usually when you say that at people, they're like, oh, sorry. No, I don't give a rat's ass. Like, we'll talk about Grant Williams on the other side. What he did in the scrimmage.
You're a negative Nancy.
No, this is super positive. He's like, our guys stealing all the headlines. It's the NBA Draft Combine. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here. It's a Friday edition of 3 and Out. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville.
Woo!
Man, I've got the full listing of height without shoes, Houston.
Give me that. Do they do hand size in the NBA?
Oh, man.
No?
Yes, they do.
Oh, good.
And this wasn't on my like shortened list of the leaders, but this has like every single thing that they measure. So, for example, I've got the leader out of all participants in height without shoes, of course, Taco Fall.
Taco Fall. 7'9". No, seriously, how tall is he? With
position center.
You think?
Body fat, 6.8%.
That's amazing to be that tall and have, I mean, that's unreal.
Hand length, 10.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Not going to lie, thought it would be bigger.
I think they measure it different than the because that is by far the largest.
Really?
Like by
and
a
you
whole
would,
inch.
I mean, basketball players are so yeah. much bigger.
By a whole inch. Oh, yeah. You see, Billy's showing us. It's different.
They do middle finger to wrist?
Middle finger to the bottom of the palm.
They don't do the...
They don't do the... See, in the see, NFL goes
for quarterback,
because
that's how you grab a football.
Here.
But yeah. I guess that is...
That
where,
makes
That's
more
where
sense.
The ball leaves
so,
on the shot.
So... If you're watching on Periscope, you can see that my hand is nowhere near 10.5 inches that direction. Houston's probably,
I don't know. Need a tape measure. Oh, I got an app. I got an app for that.
But here, I'll even search it just to make sure. 9.75, Dedrick Lawson was second, and then 9.5. So Taco Fall's hand is an inch longer than everyone there except for one other player. Height without shoes, 7 feet, 5.25 inches. Are you really doing this?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Nate, they do hand length and then hand width. So I would imagine, yeah, 10.5 is from wrist to middle finger.
Taco Fall's webbing, though, must be a little tight because his hand width is the same as his hand length. I wonder what Kawhi's was. You know, they talk about how he's the claw. You know,
I think I'm in the 9-inch range on the NBA
okay.
hand length.
Let's see. That would put you pretty average. Yeah, okay. You know, a lot of
I got good NFL hands, but average. It makes sense. These guys are huge.
I mean, that's actually pretty good for you. I mean, there's even some forwards here with 9-inch 9 inch hands.
Some, what a Grant have? What were Grant's hands?
9 inches. Yeah.
Take that. I got big hands.
He came in at 10 and a half in hand width, so that was a big difference.
Oh, hand width.
That's I don't know how they measure that, but
that's
it's different.
That's that one. Okay. 10 and a half for Grant?
Yeah.
What did Taco Fall have on hand width?
10 and a half.
I'll be dinged. I got 9.5 on that.
His hands are probably so long that when he...
Oh, yeah, that's what you said, the webbing. Tight.
Yeah.
I can't stretch them out.
How about Taco Fall with his shoes on? 7 feet, 7 inches, and then the most staggering stat of the day. Standing reach.
This is unreal.
So this means you stand on the floor.
Flat-footed.
You reach your hands up to the sky, and at the tips of your fingers, Taco Fall is...
Above the rim.
10 feet, 2.5 inches. I mean 2.5, like...
Yeah, he's just dunking.
Yeah.
Just dunking.
Without even...
Without jumping. And he can jump a little bit. Mm-hmm. I bet he didn't have a crazy vertical, but still.
His wingspan was 8 feet, 2.25 inches.
That is...
That's over halfway to the free throw line from the back iron. Like, think about that.
How wide is the lane?
Is the lane? I don't know. I'd have to look that up. I don't know that one.
I mean, the guy can... I mean, I know they got defensive 3 seconds in the NBA, but he could defend both sides of the rim simultaneously. Like, you don't even need to... He doesn't even need the help line. Like, he just...
What if he just stood under the rim with the...
Well, it's defensive 3 seconds. It's a technical foul. You can't do that.
It says the lane is 16 feet wide in the NBA.
So he's half the lane.
12 feet in the NCAA.
So three quarters of the NCAA lane.
What a monster. Feels like he's a project, but man, wow. Just has some tools to work with.
I mean, hey, who slowed down Zion the most? UCF, right?
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't...
You want to beat those Pelicans?
If he doesn't pick up that foul, they probably win that game.
Kawhi's hands measured at 9.75, but the width was 11.25.
That's ridiculous.
Holy...
Yeah, no, he has... Everyone has said he has, like, the biggest hands, especially for his body size.
That is wild.
I cannot get over Jordan Bone's numbers. I just can't.
He's going to get drafted.
I mean, if he gets drafted, then good. You know what I'm saying? Like, I won't be mad if he goes and is projected to get drafted and does.
Man, I will say, I'm looking at the height with shoes. Billy, look up what he was listed at on the Tennessee roster. Bone was 6'2¾" with his shoes on.
He's listed at 6'4", I think it's 6'4" on the roster, I think, yeah. So he got a little bit of a boost.
Yeah, that...
Grant was listed at like 6'5 or 6'6 all season. He came in at 6'7½. That may be with shoes, but still.
Yeah, that was with shoes, 6'7½.
UT still. Sports has Bone at 6'3. And you know, Pat Forty, like...
They probably changed it yesterday.
He had to take a shot at Tennessee. He was looking at all the heights and made a point to say Jordan Bone and Grant Williams. And I believe he even added Admiral Schofield and was like, these numbers are fudged.
We're talking about 1 inch or a half an inch. Of course they are. Like,
but were they were fudged to be taller, right?
Wait, fudged at the combine or fudged on the roster?
Like, yeah, he's saying that they are not that tall, basically.
That the NBA is lying at their combine. What point does that make?
He's saying that the NBA numbers are wrong or that Tennessee's website...
Well, he was looking at the NBA combine list, like he took a screenshot of it and then said there's a bunch of numbers that are fudged and then listed those players.
But they did the measurement.
Yeah.
I need clarification from Pat Ford. He can't help himself.
The only reason he does that is so people like us will mention him and then people
don't read his articles.
Tennessee fans
don't do it.
Tweet about it.
Chris Dortch, who does the Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook. He also does some NBA.com and NBA TV stuff from Chattanooga. Basically just a draft and college basketball expert. Tweeted this yesterday. Jordan Bone's combine didn't shock anyone who knows him, as I wrote in this piece. Then he links his article, of course. Former UT assistant Rob Lanier said this. Every now and then in practice, Jordan will go up and dunk one, and guys will say, what the hell? Where did that come from? 42.5 inch vertical for Jordan Bone.
Chris, buddy, yes, it did surprise people. Like, yeah. I have watched a lot of Jordan Bone. I knew he was fast. I knew he could jump. I knew he was quick. I did not think he would win all of these categories minus the max vertical, which he lost by half an inch, which could be like he jumped a little early and couldn't, like he might have been swiping on the way down or on the way up. Yes, it is you can still be surprised that Tennessee's point guard, who is not projected in the top two rounds of the draft, won every athletic category save one in the combine.
Well,
yes, we can be surprised by that.
Rob Lanier just proved your point. The guys that play with him every day are surprised when he does that in practice.
I think the guys he plays with every day know him, and they were surprised.
Wow. Doesn't that frustrate you, though, at least a little bit, that we didn't get that super freak?
But we did.
Jordan Bone.
We did.
More often. No, Rob Lanier's saying like he would do things in practice that were just like flash. Like, and we saw that. I mean, against Kentucky, he goes off.
Right.
But some games, he's the point guard.
It's matchup dependent. They tried to run him at the two, probably to let him get some of that stuff going, but I just think he's better at the one.
Well, the one interview question that I would ask Jordan Bone, if I was an NBA scout, if I was making this decision, Jordan, we noticed halfway through this past basketball season that you quit guarding the best offensive player on the other team. Why was that? Why did that happen?
I would want to know that one, too.
You guys mentioned he was awful guarding the pick and roll in the scrimmage.
He saw that. I did not.
Billy mentioned he was awful guarding the pick and roll in the scrimmage.
I may have mentioned it, but he was the one with the original stat.
Surprised no one. Tennessee, for some reason, was... I don't know how you regress as a basketball team doing that, but I felt like last season, like two seasons ago, with a much... with many of the same players... They were much better defensively. Really, all the same players except for James Daniel III. And it's not like he would have been made that huge, big of a difference in team defense.
Watching a little cut up here of Bone. Ooh. That's a good shot for him. Crossover, that's probably a college length three, and he drains it. But it's just a long two in the NBA. And then he hits a little driving floater off the rim. He did wear the Tennessee orange shoes, though. Shouts out. Still repping. I appreciate that. Everyone else just wears, you know, they go and buy some new shoes or something for the combine. He's just like, I'm wearing Tennessee stuff. I appreciate that. Jay Billis yesterday on ESPN2 while they were breaking this down said Jordan Bone was the best point guard in the Southeastern Conference last season. Jay Billis is a believer.
Yeah.
Jay Billis, bona fide. I just cannot believe this. Max vertical, 42.5. Standing, 36. Lane agility, 9.97. I would love to see some of like the great scores in all of these categories. Like, what other athlete vertically does Jordan Bone compare with in NBA history, or at least recent history? Like, lane agility, like 9.97. Where does that put him in the pantheon of point guards or just really fast guards in the NBA as far as lane agility? Three-quarter court sprint, 3.03. Is he now one of the fastest players in the NBA immediately? Or is this a slow three-quarter court class? That type of thing. And then the NBA shuttle drill, which I have no idea what that is, 2.78. Like, what were Steph Curry's numbers in all of these categories? What were Chris Paul's numbers in all of these categories? Kyrie. Because Bone's not as big and bulky as, obviously, Paul and Kyrie, but are they quicker, but maybe not top speed? Like Bone, can they jump as high as Bone? I don't know how anybody.
Last year, Bone in the shuttle would have finished 7th.
Really?
If that tells you anything.
So 2.78 was 7th last year?
Wait. I have my numbers wrong. Sorry. He would have finished 2nd in the shuttle. I had 3.03 in my head. That's his three-quarter sprint.
Yeah. So wait. Last year, who won the NBA shuttle?
Last year, he would have finished 2nd in the shuttle.
Behind
Caleb Martin at 2.75.
Very close.
3rd was 2.87. He would have finished 1st in the three-quarter sprint by 1/100 of a second
over
last year. Over Josh Okigie.
Okay.
Standing vertical leap, the best one last year, 34.5. And the max vertical leap last year, 42 inches.
So he's the best... He's the highest jumper in last year's draft
What's
class.
His lane of agility, Tom? Because Grayson Allen last year was 10.31.
9.97. What? What?
Yeah.
What? Is Jordan Bone the best point guard of all time?
He'd have been second in shuttle run, and 2 years ago, he'd have been second in three-quarter sprint. Donovan Mitchell posted 3.01 three-quarter sprint.
Here's some good names for you. Shouts out to Jordan for sending this in. Luis Fernandez of WBIR sent this tweet out yesterday. Mm. We'll give you these amazing numbers and go to break. Three-quarter court sprint. Russell Westbrook, pretty fast.
Yeah.
3.08. Derrick Rose, 3.05. Jordan Bone, 3.03. Jordan Bone, faster than Derrick Rose in his prime. And Russell Westbrook. Max Vert, Russell Westbrook, 36.5 inches. People think he is a soarer. Derrick Rose, 40 inches. Jordan Bone, 42.5 inches.
Final segment, hour number one of the program, is brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. Check them out online at goldsgym.com and work out absolutely free. Try them out before you join with the free 3-day VIP pass. That's goldsgym.com, and you can find the location nearest you right there as well. It's Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. Steven sent me this. So, Tennessee had possibly one of the fastest and quickest combine performances ever, and Barnes managed to handicap him and the team. Him, Williams, and Schofield, and Tennessee has one Sweet 16 and half an SEC championship. Can't make this stuff up. I think that can be true. I think it can also be true, as Houston, you said during the break, I mean, it's not like Bone was a great scorer as a college player. Like, he wasn't comfortable around the basket getting his shot off. He wasn't able to use his ability to jump, his ability to his speed to turn the corner and really press defenses into guarding him to his full potential, really, until this past season. And even then, there were games where that didn't translate.
Yeah, the point I was making to you during the break is one that simultaneously Blake sent this in. Bone is closer to a track athlete than an NBA player. Doesn't have a jump shot, and that kind of matters. I mean, I think we have to be able to separate, because obviously you're seeing these numbers and being very frustrated. Why didn't we get more out of Jordan Bone? Why did we not see this explosion, speed, you know, all of that play out a little bit more? I think we kind of did. But I think Blake's point is the same as mine, but you have to be a scorer. And I just don't know that Jordan Bone, at least consistently, is a scoring point guard. Now, his point total went up, and I think that's because he realized, I can get to the basket. He was a better three-point shooter this year, but he's still not a... Like, Jordan Bone can make threes. I would not consider him a shooter. Does that make sense? Like, Chris Lofton, shooter. Chris Lofton and all of these athletic tests would be horrible. Man. But he's a shooter. He is a scorer. Even around the rim with his size, he could manipulate his body and defenders and get shots off close to the rim, draw a foul. He's a scorer. Jordan Bone, phenomenal athlete who is getting better. And maybe that's why we're seeing him outside the top 60. But the question now becomes, it's one thing if he had been in the top 10 of all these categories, whereas other guys aren't, you know, maybe they're one in this and then outside the top 10 in the other. But to finish one or two in the athletic categories, you're seeing now the tools that these NBA coaches are going to have to work with. And my question is, how many, if any, look at Jordan Bone now and say, wait a minute, this is a guy who has not even come close to realizing his potential, but he has gotten better. Is this a guy that we could take and in a couple of years turn him into one of the top point guards in the NBA, because athletically he has that. Can you turn someone into a scorer? Because, you know, everyone talks about how Rick Barnes fixed Kevin Punter. Kevin Punter was a scorer before Rick Barnes fixed his shot. He just made him way more efficient at the scoring.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the question for me with Jordan Bone. And if you're an NBA scout or coach, do you want a scorer? And then I guess as far as just playing basketball, do you want a scoring point guard, or do you want a guy who can facilitate, who understands the game? And then the question with Bone, especially as you mentioned towards the second half of the season last year, was where's the defensive effort? Where's that intensity? Is maybe it's not effort or intensity. Maybe it's a multitude of things, but why did the defense take such a step back this year? I mean, so far to say that statistically he was one of the worst defenders on your team.
That's crazy, too.
With this speed, with that, this athleticism, yeah, he was one of the worst defenders on your team. So what is that? Is that an effort thing? Is that a I don't really like defense thing? Well, it fit right into the NBA. But, like, what – I guess that's – I mean, that's the one question you would ask. That's the one question I would ask. Hey, what's the deal with defense? Why didn't you guard the fastest, best player on the other team that was in your size range? Why did they put Lamonte Turner on that guy? Why were your defensive statistics so poor? And why did you kind of disappear in some big games and then completely take over in others? Because against Kentucky, three games, and the guy was unbelievable. Is that it? Is he a big shot, big game, big moment guy? Did he turn into that?
Not in the tournament.
He did hit that one coming out of overtime against Iowa. That was a big shot.
DC says, maybe this is why Barnes was so tough on Bone from the start to the likely finish of his Vol career. I mean, I absolutely agree with that. I mean, I do think that's why Barnes kept trying to get that out of him. And, you know, sometimes you can just only get so much out of a player. And maybe the change of scenery, the fact that you can work on your craft full time, you don't have to go to class anymore, maybe an NBA team will take a chance on him either late or he gets in the right, you know, G League, whatever. I mean, there's a chance that all that kind of comes together and he becomes more of a scorer at the next level. But there's a lot of guys that never get it, you know, that are supreme athletes and just never – it never clicks with them. And they are a, you know, one – they're a really great basketball player when you compare them to, like, you know, the entire earthly population of people playing basketball, but they're not NBA, you know, top 30 teams on the planet type of stuff. So I don't know. We'll see. Captain Touchpass says, is Jordan Bone the Alvin Kamara of Tennessee basketball? I mean, that would be the extreme example, right?
No, he got minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, Bone played over 30 minutes a game.
Yeah, it wasn't a lack of use.
No, but I also think it's going to go the other way. There's no way Alvin Kamara goes to the NBA and is Rookie of the Year. Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But to who'd you say, Captain Touchback? To mm-hmm. his point, yeah. Did Barnes really draw up enough stuff to, you know, let Bone shine? I mean, we made that argument.
Well, that's the thing. They moved him to the two. Like, I don't know if that classifies, but they tried to get him in a position where he wasn't the one facilitating, but he could be the guy benefiting from, you know, working the two spot in this offense. But granted, I mean, your basic offense most of the season was going to go through Grant and Admiral anyway. So I don't know. I never felt like I left a game thinking that, oh, we didn't do enough to get Bone shots.
Well, in Purdue, in overtime, you ran your money set for Lamonte. That's who you decided should take the shots with.
Well, he had also improved his three-point shooting a ton late.
Yeah, but it wasn't even a set to get a three.
I'm just saying he had been kind of your big shot maker there late.
I think that's what annoyed me more than anything else the entire season. Is with your season on the line, you ran money for Lamonte. When you have three NBA guys, not, you know, two of them are just setting screens and one of them's mm-hmm. passing.
Yeah.
I just don't get that at all. I don't understand it. Moving him to the two, I don't know. It's a complete philosophy discussion with Rick Barnes. Like they don't run sets to try and isolate one player very often at all. Mm-hmm. And when they did, it was always for Grant, and it was only in late game situations, typically in bigger games. I don't know that they ever ran plays for Bone specifically. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But I mean, definitely he's at least showing the NBA that from a physical standpoint, there's a lot of untapped potential. We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number two next. Stick with us right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.